It's working very well, I think. We have the recent Marine Scotland Act 2010, which gave us the ability to designate marine protected areas in Scottish waters, to build on the network of protected areas that we already had from the Habitats and Birds Directives. So we now have a very comprehensive set of marine protected areas around Scotland, but we also have built a willingness and an engagement of the local communities around Scotland and the various users of the marine environment to get involved to ensure the continued sustainable use of the marine environment, but also the protection of these remarkable natural heritage resources.
That's absolutely key, of course, isn't it, when you've got a multi-use environment?
Absolutely, and we are developing in collaboration with Marine Scotland the ability for everyone to get access to all the information that's out there to inform these management decisions through the development of, well, initially the publication of Scotland's Marine Atlas, but now we're developing the National Marine Plan Interactive Facility, which is a web-based source of information which can be updated all the time.
So when it comes to the various protected areas, what kind of percentage are we talking about?
It's difficult to be precise because it depends exactly on, you know, what you consider to be protected areas, but certainly from the Nature Conservation MPA side of the calculation, including SACs and SPAs, it's probably around 17% of Scottish waters.
Do we have enough information for those ones, and are we just looking for more information for perhaps other ones in the future?
You can always argue the fact that you never have enough information, but I think, you know, the areas that have been designated can be justified on the basis of the information we have. But if we want to continue to develop our management of those areas in the best possible way, yes, inevitably we need to have more information. We are now looking in more detail at the blue carbon resources within all the MPAs, so that the management of those MPAs is not based just on protecting the biodiversity for the biodiversity's sake, or ensuring that the various activities that go on there are undertaken in a sustainable manner, but also seeing whether there are key carbon stores, carbon sequestration sources within those MPAs that also need to be taken into account when we're deciding what management needs to be put in place.
Is there a sort of built-in flexibility in the designation and the management of those areas into the future?
Well, I think there is, and I think there has to be. I mean, I don't see climate change or ocean acidification, which I believe is one of the most worrying and insidious issues that we have to deal with, as any reason for not going ahead with measures at the moment. But it is essential that it is recognised that is another pressure, another stressor, or set of stressors on these areas and on the features for which these areas have been designated that we have to take into account. Within the Marine Scotland Act, we do have a recognition of climate change as being an issue around our MPAs. So, you know, it has not been ignored in the legislation. What we don't have are paper parks. We have parks that are actually working, beginning to work in the way that they are meant to. But it's a long road. There's still people who need to be convinced. We need to prove that what is being put in place is right and is delivering what it was designed to deliver.